Welcome to Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann, the show that brings you thoughtful perspective through the lens of Christ. Join us every Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. on The Bridge Austin Radio, broadcasting on both 11:20 a.m. and 101.1 FM. Whether you're on the go, hitting the gym, or simply relaxing with your favorite beverage, Triumphant Victorious Reminders will empower you to live in Christ with heavenly wit. Teresa Ann reminds us that true perspective isn't just about being positioned correctly, it's about being positioned in Christ, who is the ultimate perspective. So tune in and let your friends know to join us as we journey towards seeing mission fields in the midst of battlefields. This is Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann, and we're excited to have you with us.
Welcome to Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann on this Saturday. Thank you so much for joining me either on my radio show or on my podcast or YouTube channel. Now, those of you who do not know about Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann, let me just kind of go in real quick and give you a quick, just really quick summary here. Okay, so this started as a blog in 2009, and years later, it turned into a little talk show called Let's Talk with Teresa Ann. And then soon after, about 5 years later, just probably this past year, I got to change it back to Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann to tie in a book that I wrote called Heavenly Wit, Seeing Mission Fields in the Midst of the Battlefields. How often have we let just the stories of our life, good or bad, be the narrative to our life, whether we have great mindset, whether we have a negative mindset, whether we deal with positivity or negativity? This show is so much more than having a positive mindset. This show is going to be, I pray, like an arrow that points you back to the Father, and doing it in such a way where you know that you're not just doing this for God, but you're getting to do this not just with Him, but in Christ Jesus. And in Him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you see Jesus as your triumphant victory, guess what will happen? You will begin to see with heavenly wit, seeing mission fields in the midst of the battlefields. There are so many testimonies just in my own life of getting to see how God is the true narrative in your life. When He's the one writing your story, when He's the one that you're saying, you know what, God, what all the things that have taken place in my life, you have turned everything that was meant for evil, and you've turned it around for your glory. And it's just so amazing. If I could just sing 1,000 songs to Him, I would, but I'm going to spare you that. But anyway, before I start, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to have this show, because, Lord, it first points me to you before I get to encourage anybody else. And so, Father, I pray that every listener would be encouraged to look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about being a sign and a wonder. And excuse my voice, but being a sign and a wonder. So before I go deeper into that, I want to just say this, just to kind of give us this backdrop. When you think of following Jesus, what is it that you think about? For me, it used to be going to church, reading my Bible, journaling, doing all the good things, speaking Christianese, speaking the right words, doing it the right way, behaving well. But here is what I've been learning in the past few years, especially. When you are being transformed in Christ, by the renewal of your mind, by being in His Word, there's this drawing where you're wooed to the Father. But it's a different kind of wooing. It's this going to this place that's familiar, and even though in your physical realm you've never experienced it before, but there's just this knowing on the inside of this is so familiar. And so I'm starting with this backdrop because for so long I looked at the church, I looked at small groups, I looked at doing my Bible studies, I looked at fellowshipping with other believers, I looked at reading the Bible, I looked at just everything that had to do with God as God. So I saw church as God, I saw the Bible as God, I saw all those things. And one day, there was just this moment where I wasn't even thinking about it. So you know, it was just the Holy Spirit, which seems random, is ministering to my heart. And it was this: why do you read the Bible? And I was like, why do I read the Bible? Well, it's, you know, and when you hear that question, you want to answer it the right way. Again, behavioral, you want to focus on the good behavior. And finally, it was just like getting raw and real. It's like, you know what? I want to know the Bible so that I'm a good Christian. But it had nothing to do with wanting to know him more. And it was in that moment that I realized, in his awakening to himself, that I was getting a new desire being transferred into me and wanting to read the word now to become closer to God. Not so it could look like I'm a better Christian or I'm a better person to prove to those people that knew me before I knew Christ. I could show them, look, I've changed. I've really changed. But even in that is just, it's about behaving well. And here's what I learned about when you become an awe and wonder of God, something happens to where, and I've talked about this many times on the show, when you begin to notice the goodness of God and you just backtrack on your life of his faithfulness, all you want to do is be delighted in him. And in that delight in who he is, there's this new desire that springs up out of your heart to now just want to respond in obedience. Not so that I can say I behaved well, or not because I can say I sacrificed something or that I was obedient, but this obedience comes from a place of absolute adoration and worship as he has my full affection. And so I want to just say, okay, so here we go. When I used to look at Christianity as a whole, as God himself, whether it be going to church, like checking all the boxes, right? And when God gave me that awakening to himself, I realized church, doing the right thing, going to scripture, reading scripture, studying scripture, going to small groups, fellowshipping with the right people, those were all becoming idols in my life. I was going to those things to get approval from God, when really, all those things were simply meant to be arrows. Arrows that just kept pointing me to my greatest affection in him. For instance, have you ever had a vision that God's given to you of something that perhaps he placed within you that he wants you to release into the earth? Whether it's a book, whether it's an organization, whether it's a quote unquote movement, whatever it is. Okay. Maybe it's a church or whatever that is. I don't know about you, but I know me. Whenever I would get a vision from God, I would allow that vision to drive me to get accomplished what I believed God wanted me to accomplish. But I later learned in this life in Christ, he was just giving me a sneak peek of what he was going to do himself. And I was going to get to be a witness of what his doing power would be doing through me by the Spirit. And it wasn't about me trying to make it happen. It wasn't about trying to make my dream happen. It wasn't about if I delight in the Lord, then he'll give me these desires. No, when I delight in the Lord, my desires that I had fall off and his desires become my own. Guess what? His desires, when I participate with him, they are going to be fulfilled because I'm delighting in him. And so here is this vision that he places within you. And this whole time, we are allowing the vision to seduce us away from the one who gave us the vision. And that was never meant to be. It was never meant to be to say, hey, I want you to focus on the vision, Teresa, so that you will actually try to do this on your own and check in with me every now and then and get further away from me and then get really confused when things don't happen the way you thought. This is why it is so important that if this has happened to you, and don't feel bad if it has, actually rejoice that God is actually utilizing me right now as a vessel to say, it's okay. He's inviting us to himself and saying, okay, Lord, let's do this over again. That vision that you gave me, thank you. Thank you for allowing me a sneak peek in what you've planned from long ago. And whether it's something that you want me to be a part of in this generation, or if this is a seed you've sown in my life that's going to be released in the generations after me, so be it. I release it back to you. I surrender that to you. And Lord, if it is something I'm supposed to be doing in this lifetime, then God, I am going to stay intimate with you. I'm going to follow after you. And I'm going to know that every single valley, every single curve, every single turn, every single moment of darkness, and every single moment of life and light and celebration and tragedy, that when I follow you, you will always make sure that that vision that you gave me a sneak peek of will come to pass. You know, it's not just for lack of knowledge that people perish. It's not just for lack of vision that people perish. But the scripture, and I wish I had it right in front of me, but it says, we have to finish that sentence and not paraphrase it, because what it says is, for lack of knowledge of knowing God, my people perish. It wasn't just a lack of knowledge of knowing something important. It was the lack of knowing God in the most crucial moments and in the most seemingly insignificant moments. So let me go back. These moments that we've had in our life where we have focused on doing good things and chummed it up to, oh, this is a God thing, or I'm doing this for God. How often when we've done things for God, have we gotten more tired, frustrated, and literally want to give up? It doesn't mean that you still won't have those feelings when you're doing it in Christ, but here's the difference. When you live a life where you're like, Lord, every day I wake up, I want to be in awe and wonder of you like a child. I don't want to go about this life as I've learned to have a plan in place. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but to be so regimented that if anything gets in the way of it, then I call it an attack, or I call it this, or I call it that. And instead of just saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to use this moment as a divine opportunity to just stay right here and think upon you and your faithfulness and your goodness. And whether or not it is an attack, guess what? That is not the bottom line. The bottom line is, if it is an attack, let's be praising Almighty God for who he is. Not because he has a huge ego and he needs to be praised. But you guys, praise is this beautiful instrument that God has given to us to rescue us. What an equipping God. Listen, Teresa, you're about to go through something really hard. And you're going to ask me why. But I need you to know right now, you may never know the why. But this is why you must stay close to me. This is why you must draw near to me. This is why you must be intimate with me, so that when the circumstances of this life try to convince you that I have forgotten about you, that you will not be seduced to that lie. But you will rejoice evermore that this life on this earth is temporary. And in Him, He has you, He has your children, He has your marriage. Even if God, I want to get to that place, you guys. I pray, Lord, that if I lost everything, I would still praise you. I don't know if I could do that, but I want to. And let me tell you, the life of surrender is much more than a life of commitment. A commitment, yes, there is self-control involved. But a life of surrender is complete abandonment to God, saying, God, you are the author of my life. You created me before I even knew I was being formed in my mother's womb, before I had any concepts of anything. So how could I question you even in this? And there's going to be moments where you know you're called to prayer. And in that, it's, you may not even know what to pray, but just be in the attitude of prayer. You're like, Jesus, nothing's coming to me. But Holy Spirit, I am here completely yours. Whether it's saying the name of Jesus over and over again, whether it's you see an image of someone's face and you just start declaring, Lord, you are over them. You are their protection. You are their strong tower. Thank you, Lord, that if they don't know you yet, that in this moment they would be awakened, not just to truth, but be awakened to you who is truth. You know, there's so many moments in our life where prayer becomes the theme. And it's so good to pray. It's what we're called to do. But prayer is not God. So when we say things like prayer changes things, well, actually, it's God who changes things. It's God who does the impossible. And He allows us to agree with Him in prayer so that we can agree with Him for the kingdom of heaven to come upon the earth. And so today, the miraculous, the sign, and the wonder. What is it for? What is the miracle for? What is the miracle of someone getting healed? What does that have to do with God? Like, what, at the end of the day, is that miracle God, or is that miracle a sign and wonder that points people to the Father? It leads me to the story of Moses. In the account of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And there's several accounts throughout the Old Testament. But there's one particular part of this story, and I believe it's in Exodus 32, where God is like, I'm done with these people, these stiff-necked, stubborn people. And He tells Moses He's going to destroy them. After He's led them out, after they're going through these years of like going through the wilderness. And Moses, this true leader, says, I mean, and God even promises Moses, I'll smote all of them and I'll start a whole new nation that you can lead them. Like, hello, He's dangling a carrot. That seems really, really, yeah, I could do that. These people are freaking driving me nuts. I can't do one more moment. And instead, Moses says, God, He's more concerned about God's reputation than his own. God, if you destroyed your people, what would all the nations that have seen your mighty works over this people say when you just destroy all of them? That would be a mockery, God. And here Moses, instead of pleading for his own cause, is pleading for God's. And in doing so, the Israelites are being beneficiaries of that. They're being benefactors of this plea with God. And it reminds me of Jesus. Because, you know, when Jesus came to die, he didn't do it for us first. He did it to do the will of his Father. But here is Moses. And he's like, look, God, I know that you're taking us into the promised land. But if you take us there and your presence is not with us, I want nothing to do with it. See, he didn't allow the promised land to become the distraction or the idol away from God. He saw God as his promised land. He saw the presence of God as his promised land. Let's zoom out here. Let's see the scriptures as a reminder of God's presence. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. When we go to church and we gather with other believers, let it be a reminder of this God, that we're all united, coming together to exalt and to adore and to worship, so that our lives can be a light wherever we go. Those visions that were given to us, those dreams, maybe a promise of a child, maybe a promise of having a husband or a wife. Instead of allowing those moments to plague us as an idol and say, oh my God, where is he? Oh my God, where is she? Oh my God, when is my child coming? Instead, saying, God, I want to know you more. So that when the moment happens where I get to meet my husband, or when I get to meet my wife, or when I get to meet my child, that I am so full and overflowing with intimacy with you, that that vision that you gave me is not a distraction, but it's a divine arrow that points me to you, to go after you even more, to allow that vision and dream to be a sign and wonder of who has me, so that I can remind others of who has them. I would rather have your presence than your promises. But here's the cool thing about God's presence, is when you're in his presence, you already have the promises. For instance, how often have we said, I want to go to heaven, I want to go to heaven, I can't wait to go to heaven, 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 heaven. Well, heaven becomes an idol. No, you know who's heaven? God is. God is our heaven. God is the place that we want to be. He is the place. He's the person, and he is the place. Let everything that you thought was something that you could do to get approval from God, let it now be an instrument that points you to him. Let the praises of your mouth not only rescue you from yourself, but let it be a reminder of who he is. So undeserved, and yet he's so faithful. You know, there's just so much. I love getting to talk about these things, because when we see, in order to see a mission field in the midst of a battlefield, you've got to see him first. Because if you just realize that Jesus is our purpose, he is our mission in life, he is our vision, he is our destination. When you take that and you realize that's who he is, then the things of the world that says, oh, you got to know what your purpose is, you got to know what your destination is, you got to know what this is, you got to know what that is, you got to know what this is to get to here, to get to there. You realize, no, he is my purpose. He is my destiny. He is my God. He is my path. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he's the only way. He's the only one. And I don't want destiny without him. I don't want heaven if I can't have him. I want you, Lord. And I don't want you to just agree with me today. I want you to say, yes, Lord, I want to do that. I want to follow after you in that way. Listen, here is something I would love for you to do. It's just after this, even right now, say, Jesus, I want what Teresa's talking about. I want you to reveal to me what she's saying. I want you to reveal to me that you're my everything. And if you want to share something that has just taken place, or you want to share a testimony about what I'm talking about right now, maybe God has given you this revelation, well, you email me at letstalktv74@gmail.com. Or go to triumphantvictoriousreminders.com. Thank you again for joining me on today's episode via Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann. And remember what this show is all about. When you see Christ as your triumphant victory, you can't help but see with heavenly wit, seeing mission fields in the midst of the battlefields.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann. We hope that you were empowered and encouraged by the insights and perspectives shared on this program. Remember, living in Christ transforms us into his likeness and enables us to live an abundant life with heavenly wit. With Teresa Ann, we have learned to see mission fields in the midst of battlefields. Be sure to tune in next Saturday morning at 11:30 for another edition of Triumphant Victorious Reminders with Teresa Ann. Until then, keep seeking Christ, who is the true perspective, and may his blessings be upon you always.